The Dode Fox Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Dode Fox Podcast. I'm Paul, he's Ronnie, and Friday night might have been painful to watch, but I'll take 3 points every day of the week. And Saturday wasn't too bad either. A tap weekend indeed. Join the conversation on our socials. We're at Dode Fox Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Coming up on this week's episode, rearranged games, club news, Inverness review, good, bad and ugly, the rumour mill, the loan report, women's team, live episode, our full A to Z of Dundee United on this day with the Arab Archive, and we seem to have fixed the voicemail system. It's all coming up on episode 225 of the Dode Fox Podcast.
I am Callum Morris and you're listening to the Dode Fox Podcast.
So welcome back to the award-winning Dode Fox Podcast with the inch away from being a she, Paul McNichol, and glad to just get the three, Ronnie Costello. So, talk to me.
It's cold. It's really, really cold out there just now, Rondo.
A lot
of truth said in jest.
Or just absolute truth, really. Anyway, let's get on with business. It is Sunday evening. We're all out of sync this weekend because of myself. But here we are. Rearranged games right away. Wraith away now, the 16th of February on the BBC. That is a Friday night. And Morton away, which was called off because it was Baltic, will now be what everyone needs. A Tuesday night, the start of March in Greenock.
It was almost inevitable, wasn't it? Like, I know that they've delayed announcing that, but it just felt inevitable we'd be heading through there midweek. I mean, it's no hardship, I suppose. It's just a minor hindrance that, no doubt, after the 5th of March, there will be free Saturdays for both teams. It's just an absolute cert. But Tuesday, March the 5th, it is. We'll just have to go and get some revenge on these maggots.
Indeed we will. Taking a look, there's a lot of news coming out of the club this week, so we're going to get into that as well, because we've had to create a new section in this running order that we actually do right, dude. Like, this is... There's bullet points here for us to follow.
Loosely, Rondo.
Yeah, and there's obviously the rumour mill and whatever else. But big news, as we found out just before the game, I think it might have been on Friday, Declan Gallagher out for 3 to 4 weeks. Now, you've got to remember, you've got to put your pre-Friday night head on here, Paul, when we discuss that. But that was a big blow, that news.
It was. It's a massive blow for us. I mean, you could look at it another way. You could think, right, okay, it was inevitable. Some big part of the team was going to pick up an injury. It's just the way football works. And in many ways, like, we can look on it fortunately, because for two of the 3 to 4 weeks, we didn't have a game. So, like, it could have been a lot worse. He could have missed X amount of games. As it stands, he might only miss, I don't know, 2, 3, hopefully no more than that. But of course it's a blow, because the defence has just looked solid when he's there pretty much all season. So to tut him out of the team is undoubtedly anything that we would want.
And Jim Goodwin has said that it looks the best for all parties involved if Ollie Denham's agent can fix him up with a loan elsewhere.
Yeah, and if he can't, then I would sack the agent, because what has he done? Like, Ollie's he's played the first two games of the season, and that's it. I don't think he's even come off the bench. I could be wrong, but it's just been a waste of Abdi's time. He was obviously brought in with the best intentions, and I think if he hadn't have had the two games, or if they had went a wee bit better, then we maybe wouldn't have had Declan Gallagher, and he might have got more games than he's got. But it panned out the way it panned out. He played the first two games, we lost them. He looked less than brilliant, shall we say. And he's just been kicking his heels on the bench ever since. And it would be bad enough if he was our player, because he's no getting any better by no playing games, but he's no our player. And whether or not we're paying him or Cardiff's paying him, like, looking at it from the boys' point of view, like, what is he doing? He's wasting his time. He's wasted 6 months of his career by just sitting on a bench up here.
From the sounds of it, and this is no any knowledge or anything, that's just my take on things, that kind of I'm led to believe there's no, like, a break clause for either club in there, right? Now, what that would tell me is if Cardiff were paying his wages, they might want him back because they're not getting any bang for their buck as such. Mm-hmm. So it could be that. I could be totally wrong, but it's got that feeling about it. And like you say, for the kind of 6 months, he's kind of no really kicked a bar. And for me, I think looking back, when you look at the games like the Falkirk and Dunfermline, I think was in the Diddy Cup as well, I'm a wee bit surprised he didn't play in those games. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, there's a few players that fall into that bracket. Flynn Duffy being one, like they fall into that bracket. And what hasn't really helped either, like on a side note, is at the start of the season, I think Goodwin come out and said, like, we're not going to bother with the reserves. We're just going to arrange our own games. Well, as far as I could see, they've not arranged many games. Like, these boys just haven't played because he can't play in the academy games. He's too old. So he's maybe played a handful of reserve League Cup games, maybe four or five of them.
Did he not score a worldie against Dundee?
He scored two against Falkirk, I think, through there. But again, like that's a reserve League Cup. But they've just not played. He's just wasted his time, Rondo. Like, I don't know, Ken. If it was the other way about, if we had loaned a player, I'd just throw a name, like just call the guy Brian Mwangi or something. Like, if you loan a player out to another team and he just sits on the bench and he doesn't get a game at all, like, what's the point? Like, we'd be thinking you're wasting that guy's time. So we'll have him back. But as you say, it does sound awfully like we're picking up the cost of his wages, because if for no, then, like, why would Cardiff just keep him in this situation that seems that he's got nae chance to play? Nae chance. Like, you would think if Declan Gallagher goes out injured, he's the right-hand side of your central defence. Perfect. Like, Ollie Denham, he's probably that player as well. He doesn't even get a game. We'd rather go with Ross Graham, which is absolutely fine by me. Like, I'm no criticising that, but like, if he can't get a game when that happens, what needs to happen for him to get a game? Does Gallagher and Holt hate to get injured for him to then come in? It's just miles away for getting a sniff of action. So why he's still here, I don't know. If it's up to his agent, he needs to get his finger out and get something done for the laddie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be interesting a couple of weeks on that. Of course, Jim Goodwin has said he might have to go into the transfer market for an hour centre half if Declan Gallagher was out. But like you've said, he's missed one game and he might only miss one more. So that might not happen. It'd be interesting to see if Denham did go, if we had to change anything. I'm not so sure you'd have to bring anyone else in, but that's easier said than what can actually happen in the wonderful world of football. Anyway, Lewis O'Donnell. We're talking about him in the room and all the other week, but he is staying with Kelty until the summer.
Yeah, so like it looks, if you believe the papers and whatever and the websites, then he was almost away to the Premiership down south or the Championship. But no, he's staying in League One in Scotland. So who knows if any of that was true? Who knows what goes on when these stories get published? Maybe there's a hint of truth in it. Maybe a scout was up watching a game that he played in. Who knows? But I would suggest that it's good for his development that he stays there, because he's been getting a game. He's been an important player for them. He's playing missed weeks. He's playing missed of the game, missed weeks. And if he was to come back to Tannadice, like, he would maybe just be a fringe player at best. So he's a young laddie. In an ideal world, he'll come back. He'll have been improved. If he's out of contract in the summer, he'll sign another. If he's good enough, you get him teed up for a couple of years or whatever. And hopefully this season will have aided his development massively. So it makes sense to keep him on loan. No point bringing him back and no playing him. So I'm fair behind that decision.
Jumping on something I read on Twitter, which won't be the only time I say that in this episode. If the Milan clubs can do it and do it well, I don't see why the Dundee clubs couldn't do it and do well. Would you back a grouch here, Mr. McNichol?
No, I wouldn't really like that. No, I like Tannadice, even though it's old and decrepit in many ways, and it's maybe no fit for purpose for what potential owners or the current owner might want. Like, and when I say that, I mean, like, what United, when it comes to the lounges and whatever, you're kind of restricted as to what you can do, aren't you? Like, but for a football fan's point, if you're like a normal punter that sits in the stands week after week, Tannadice is absolutely beautiful. I mean, like that, it's fine. Message good. I got a bra view. I could still see the team. So no, I would never. I don't really want to move away from Tannadice. And I know that the older I get, the younger generation behind me will probably be more thinking, come on, I wait to get away from this, because they've maybe not seen such heady heights of what we've witnessed before. But no, it's just, it's for home. It's for spiritual home. It's for literal home. I don't want to move, and I certainly don't want to be sharing with them.
It was obviously something, I mean, 2008, they were looking to do it, weren't they? They were wanting to host games at the Euros if Scotland got it and stuff.
Well, it would have been the Euros of 2008. So that all the talks were years prior to that. I think you're maybe talking like the early 2000s. It was and it was, in many ways, it was silly because they were on about a 30,000-seater stadium in Kirby. And like, I can remember even then thinking, 30,000? Like, I don't think it'd been at any games at United, certainly no in Dundee, where there's been 30,000. I can remember going to the European nights in 87 and that, and there was big crowds there, but there wasn't 30,000 because Tannadice didn't have 30,000. So I just thought that maybe the plan was it's one of these stadiums that starts as a 30,000 and then you could reduce it. But it was obviously, it never happened. There was loads of objections. We never got the Euros anyway. And we're still at Tannadice, and Dundee are still over the road at the Midden.
Mm. It is an interesting one in terms of, you know, when you look at the stadiums, and I think it comes down to how much money it's costing to upkeep a lot of things, and it's obviously not going to be cheap. I mean, we were kind of joking last, I was joking kind of last week pre-match, and we were saying, you know, kind of what can we do to, you know, change the gantry in the press box? Is there any ideas and whatever? And you know, a comment was made, Ken, it was probably Jim that built this. And I was, probably, it was, like, because it's very unique as well. And a lot of guys were saying it's quite unique to have a full-on actual press box because a lot of stadiums don't have them. But there's having one and having one in the modern game because it is, when it was built, that's it. You know, it's no luxurious, put it that way. But it works, it absolutely works, gives you a great view of the ground, the game and everything like that. But there's wee things like that, you just think, you know, what are these costing? You know, what else could we do, bloody, and all that. But it'd be interesting if it was ever seriously put on the table, how it would kind of go. Because obviously, I mean, the point that has been made by Stephen Flynn is obviously AC Milan, Inter Milan, or Internazionale, the San Siro for AC Milan and whatever they call it, just out of Mieza or whatever, they share that pretty well. But it shows it can be done, but at the same time, that's been like that for a half a long time.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I'm no basing mine on logic, Rondo. I'm just basing it on, like, it's, my heart wants us to stay at Tannadice. Logically, it probably makes sense to upgrade things. And certainly for your experience on matches, like, I dare say your working environment could be a lot better, but that's just because it's an old stadium. You've got what you've got. You just said it yourself. Mr. McLean probably built where you stand with his own two hands. but I'm all right with Tannadice. It is what it is. We're not the biggest club in the world. It's fine. There's better stadiums out there, and there's absolutely far worse stadiums 100 yards up the road. So I think it's all right. I think what we've got is all right. Couldn't be approved, of course, but like I didn't ever want a ground share with them. What would be in it for us, ground sharing with them? None.
Apart from a modern stadium, that's probably about it, really. Same for them.
Exactly. Well, but they're going to want to build their new modern stadium. So,
they are.
Like,
yep.
So what, are we hanging on to their coattails now? Is that what I'm hearing, Rondo?
That's it.
We'll see.
2025, can't we? New can't we? It's happening. Come on.
2025.
I don't think I'll see it in my lifetime, but I'm 41, put it that way.
Well, even the Simpsons haven't predicted Dundee building a new stadium, so I'm not putting any stock in that ever happening. We'll see.
And another bit of news this week, of course, was the release of the financial accounts, which were a surprise to no one.
Yeah, they were always going to be grim, weren't they? What did come to light, and of the many articles that I read about this, there was one in the Daily Sport, which is what I get delivered every day, and it was on about that although we're paying our players last season minimum wage, we're actually paying well above the common expected market industry salary for daft stadium announcers. So I think there's questions that need answered in that respect, Rondo, and I think that you are possibly the only person that can answer these questions. what are you taking home? I mean, this is ridiculous.
The question
of that. What portion of 7 million are you sitting on in that mansion in Broughty Ferry right now?
I was trying to think, well, I nearly said 1% of that, but that's probably quite a big amount, so it's definitely not that. It's about 0.01%, if that.
Nah, it's mental, though. Like all joking aside, when the figures came out, that was the... you kind of knew they would be grim, because it always is, and I think it'll be worse next season, because then that'll show that from when we're in the championship. But I didn't think people appreciated just how much our wage bill was. Which was frightening, considering what we got back for the team last season. It was not money well spent at all. I think we can all agree that. So, yeah, I don't know what else to comment on other than it's the reading was fairly brutal. But there's not much that I can do about it. There's not much you can do about it. As fans, like we're still turning up in big numbers relatively. The amount of shit that we're still buying in the shop, it's probably quite a lot that they're bringing in through that as well. And if we're hemorrhaging money the way that the accounts are showing, then, I mean, they need to fix that. Clearly, they need to fix that. And it's no surprise when you hear that Mr. Ogren's looking to get rid. Like, why would he want to keep this albatross around his neck? It's obviously costing him an arm and a leg. So, yeah, the accounts, they weren't a great people far smarter than me. In monetary terms, would be able to go through it and say, well, this is how they weren't great, but they weren't great. That's all that I can say about it.
Is it more fun hearing about the account numbers from fans of the Huns and the Wee Team?
Well, in their defence, Ronnie, they are the experts because they have been through hard times. I mean, one of the teams never made it. Like, they had to be reincarnated. So yeah, it's always a laugh, isn't it? It's always a laugh. But I think that's just the nature of social media, the nature of Scottish football. You put it all together, everybody bickers about their own team until somebody releases a set of accounts, and then the amount of accountants that just come out of the blue, and literally the blue, half of Glasgow and half of Dundee, it's quite funny. It really is quite funny. So yeah, like there was a fair bit of banter this week for the experts.
Yeah, no half. Anyway, news on the park is we've got ourselves a new striker on loan for St Mirren. Alex Greaves joined up to the end of the season.
Yeah. And I knew nothing about him. And I think it was maybe you that pointed out that he actually scored against us last season. I think it was you that texted me. I was like, I care nothing about this boy. Hopefully he's good. Never heard of him. Never seen him. Oh, but you must have, because he scored against us last season. I was like, narrow it down. Why don't you? Like, I'd be scored against us last season. So it was one of them. Like, it's a wee bit exciting because you didn't know anything about him. But then you think to yourself, or I think to myself, maybe a wee bit arrogantly, I'm like, Christ, we're getting boys on loan for Ross County and St Mirren. Now, like, what's going on? But that's just where we are. We just say go with it. There's nothing we could do about that. So yeah, hopefully he comes in and he makes a difference, makes an impact, and helps us win the league.
In terms of rumours, by the time you've maybe listened to this episode on a Monday, there may be a further player with a scarf above his head and David Wotherspoon to the end of the season.
Yeah. I think that's a set to happen. I saw Wotherspoon speaking to the BBC and he basically all but admitted it. So, I fully expect to see him.
If we can get it done, he says.
Yeah, well... Like, what would stop that? Him. That's what would stop that getting done, because we've obviously put an offer to him, which he's excited about. He kind of said, and then he was like, well, I fucking get it. He's maybe just trying to be respectful to the fact that he was still under contract to Inverness at that point when he was saying all that. But yeah, I think it will probably... Do I think it's a good signing for the here and now? Yes, I do. If we'd issue a 2.5-year contract, then I'd be like that. I don't know if that's a good signing, because he's a wee bit older, and I get these days players week. Can play on. Exactly, he's 34 the day after he signs. I'm sure it's Tuesday. It's only to the end of the season.
It's only to the end of the season.
Would that be the deal? Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I'm fully on board with that then. Yeah, as long as we're not dishing out silly contracts, because that just wouldn't make any sense to me.
No. It will be to the end of the season.
Right, well, yes.
Gets
if we can get it done. Yeah. Well, I think it's a good signing. He's been Inverness's best player, albeit they're not up to much this season, and we will get to that. But yeah, I think he'll add to the squad. Certainly, just now the injuries that we've got, I think he could come in and he can. Like we're speaking about Alec Greaves saying we hope that he can make an impact. I think we can look at Witherspoon and be safe in the belief that if he stays injury free, he can make an impact for us.
And another one, final bit of the rumour before we get into the game up the A9 on Friday night, is it Matthew Cujo to Hibs?
I mean, I'm going to file that one under believe it when I see it, in fairness. So, yeah, I don't know where that's come from, who started that rumour, if it was Matthew himself. Who knows what's going on. So I'd be surprised. I mean, he seems to have fallen right down the pecking order for whatever reason, because he was our starting winger at the start of the season, really. And he was unfortunate that he got sent off against Morton. Kind of saw a couple of takes online where boys are like, well, he shouldn't have been stupid against Morton. I didn't think he was stupid. I thought he got done up like a kipper on the day. But he's just never really got back into the swing of things. I mean, he came on against Arbroath and scored that great goal, but it was the sixth in a 6-0 win. It wasn't like a game changer. So as exciting as he can be to watch at times, he's just never really got himself back in the squad or back in the team. Sorry. And that's partly due to the form of Kai or Middleton, but I don't know. He doesn't seem to be favoured by the manager at present.
I know we'll probably talk a little bit more about this next week at the live episode for the mid-season review and stuff. Do you think he'll be a United player next season?
Good job.
Mm-hmm.
No. Because he's out of contract, isn't he?
Yeah,
I don't think he'll be a United, no. I'd be surprised.
Yeah, I'd be amazed at that. But I think we've got 7 contracted to next season. I think that's it.
Yeah, and you know what? That's maybe something that we could speak about next week when we do our next episode, which will be kind of like a mid-season review. But no, and I would say no, because if he, and you could say this about any player in the team this season, but if he had to come in and he was like undroppable this season, then you could say, right, he's important for us. Like he's so important. We can't leave him out of the team if he's fit, and he could probably do a job next season, but he hasn't been that. Like he's been good in flashes, I'm going to say, and I quite like watching him when he's got the ball. And I can, like, a joke that you really, really didn't like him, but you, it's not that you hate him, but you just didn't see as much as what I maybe want to see when I'm watching him play. But no, I would be very surprised if he's still here next season. Very surprised.
Yes. Friday night football then. It was on the telly. It was up the A9, of course, just round the corner. Easy to get to. Down near half day on unfair work. To face Inverness at the Caledonia Stadium. Another chance to take on Big Dunk. They've done quite a nice wee video of it before the game and everything like that. And it was a bit of a familiar story, as it was before, the last time up there. 2 changes to the team. Louis Moult did miss out due to that injury. Craig Sybil, of course, was suspended, which meant Alex Grieve came in and Chris Mockray came in. Alex. Archie Meekison was back on the bench. He's been out for quite a while as well, and probably showed, I think everyone was saying this as well, even before the teams come out, but you look at that spine that's been extracted for your team. Gallagher, Sybald, Docherty, mind him, he used to play for us, and Louis Moult. That's a big loss for any team, regardless of who you are.
It's a massive run rate if you tag. Even if you just had had Moult, Gallagher's, Moult, Sybald, Docherty, and you miss Gallagher, you're missing them, because these guys, like I've just said about Cujo, like these, maybe not so much Louis Moult, like we can maybe touch on that, but the other guys, when they're fit, are usually undroppable. Louis Moult has been a bit hot and cold this season, in fairness, like he started well, but then he's had a dry patch with the goals, shall we say. But of course, like any of these guys missing out would be a blow to us, because we dunno, like, unless you're in the media and you're looking at things from the outside in, like as United fans, I think we all probably agree that the squad isn't the strongest. But as I say, like, the outsiders, they're like, oh, well, United have got the biggest budget, so they've clearly got the biggest squad. We've got a relatively big squad, but, like, the level drops off when you start missing players, and when you miss four guys that would for sure be in the starting 11, then, of course, that's a blow to you.
What were you thinking when you seen the team and knowing who was missing out? Were you apprehensive? Were you smashing, grabbing? Were you, I've tapped the point now? What were you, where were you at?
I was thinking that's a nice tap that we've got on the night. I can't believe that you fleeced us again, you pricks. But fair dues, it does look like a different shade of black that I've never seen before. It does look like a street black. What a nonsense that is. But the team itself, I just thought it was going to be tough. I just thought it was going to be tough up there. I thought, like, I was, in my mind, I'm obviously recalling the most recent game, which was the Morton game last week, and the defence was poor. Like, it was as poor as we had been. Maybe no last season, because Falkirk away was howling as well. But it was really, it was a really poor show for the defence. So I thought it might be a struggle. I wondered how Mochrie would get on in that midfield role, because although I quite like him when he's in a forward area, I thought he's not going to get into the forward area as much this week. And if he is, then Tilson's going to hit a day. They'll work at Abdi. So I didn't really know what to expect, Rondo. Of course you want to win, and I've said it before, like, every game we should be looking to be winning in this league. But I just thought it was going to be tough. I thought it was going to be a slog. And
First half.
I didn't know what we were doing. I thought we were giving them far too much respect. I thought we were sitting off them. I thought we were quite deep. We weren't troubling them at all. So even in games where I've criticised them this season, like, we've still created chances. But on Friday, especially in the first half, we created nothing. Like, literally next to nothing we created. And if it wasn't for Jordan Tilson, Hayden Baz off the line, throwing his body in the way, and Kevin Holt, he'd done that a couple of times, then it could have been different at half-time, but it was an instantly forgettable first half of football. It really was utterly shite.
Also interesting as well was how we lined up as well, 4-4-2, which is the first time we've kind of done that, and I can remember under Jim Goodwin.
Mm-hmm.
And same.
What did you think of Grieve first half?
I mean, he's busy enough, but again, when you've got a player who's been in the door 10 minutes, it seems, although he kens Tony Watt, it's going to be tough. And the same as you, when you've no played as much football either, and you go up there, and I would never call under Ferguson, I wouldn't call Inverness hammer throwers, but they are hardy, but like, they didn't mind bumping into you, put it that way. Like, they can be aggressive up there.
The boy Devine at the back, for example, he was leaving his mark. But first half, I thought he'd done all right to a point. He certainly puts in the graft, but there was one, I think it was near the start of the game actually, where he got the ball on the right in front of the dugouts, and he's run, and if he just has a wee look up, he sees Middleton in an acre of space. And I think the hill currently, because a lot of people hate United, but are the United fans watching that game at the game and on the TV were probably screaming, just get the middle and he's clean through on goal. And I think he just runs into a defender. He takes too many touches and marks a howling air sort of. But there was promising signs certainly first half for him. He looked like he was going to give us something that we maybe didn't hear. But there was also some signs that weren't so good. Like, why are we giving them so much respect? Why are we sitting off them? Like, how are we not creating anything? Like, what's going on? It was a poor performance. Poor game first half, certainly.
And I think you're right, and I think it's right to credit as well John Tilson, because of a couple of big blocks on the 18-yard line when they're trying to fire in for any chance that they got, and then the header off the line, and it's that one thing you're going, man, that might have been out of the line. It's never out of the line, but just good film as well. Doesn't stick to the post, gets himself in, and you know, he does what he has to do there. And I think you're right as well, because, and let's be honest, right? John Tilson's half a Marmite with the United fans. Let's just...
Of course he is. Of course he is.
And that's fine. And I've got mates that are like that as well, that are just Dunahill. And I was like, I'm kind of glad he was on the line there. But then the mayor went on, the mayor, you realised that we're playing in a midfield too, when he's actually needing to do the work for Chris Mochrie as well, because Chris Mochrie is not a defensive type of player. So he was needing to do his work and then was trying to break out for midfield as well, which I kind of thought, that's maybe what Chris Mockery's meant to be doing. So it was just, yeah. I know, a very nice first half. You know, Billy Mackay even looked like he kind of was shoot again. You said Kevin Holt, he had a good block as well. And right of the death, Alan Muir waved away a penalty claim that I didn't think was a penalty anyway, right, on Tony Watt.
Well, I mean, if what we witnessed last week was not a penalty, Rondo, then that was never a penalty, what happened to Tony Watt. I think the guy maybe has his hand on his shoulder, in fairness, and I mean resting on his shoulder. I don't think he grabs him. I don't think he tries to get him in a headlock or drags him backwards. I think Tony Watt's felt it. He's realised he's not getting anywhere near the bar, and he's just threw himself. And that was it the boy? Was it boys that done that? I would hate to see it, but I can't mind. But maybe that was a wee bit of the niggle that we'll obviously get to when he gets near the end of the game and he does the business for when he's biting the boy's fist. But
no, it's not him. It's the I should really ken this. It's boy Harper.
Harper.
Doing. Well, yeah.
Either way, it wasn't a foul. No, for me. I think the ref got it right.
No. Going in at half time. Goalless. I think looking at the stats, and listen, there's only one stat that matters, right? And that's what we get to. Top left-hand corner. It's only in the Mars at the end of the day. But looking at the stats at half-time, as me and Martin were opening our fourth can and firing about our pizza for couscous, we were saying that, I said, that's easily the first half, that we have been way behind in every stat going. Possession, attempts, target, even fouls, I think we were leading on. It was a real frustrating day. And I actually got to the point at half time when, well, I'm not sure, I'd probably take a point right now. But Martin was like, nah, no chance. And I was like, I'm not so sure. Like, I think I would. Because it just didn't feel like, how do we go at this? We can't do this for another 45 minutes. I'm not sure we can hang on.
No, and I didn't get it, Rondo. I didn't understand. Like, the game plan just seemed to be to sit off them. But then why? Like, what were you sitting off them for?
Are we doing this when we done it earlier in the season? We sat off them and then we would suck them in, easy, and then the long bar would go and we'd get behind them. I don't know.
Well, but no, and then that's fine. Like, if that's your game plan, that's fine. But there was nobody getting sucked in. There was nae long bars over the top for maybe Grieve to run on. There was nothing like that. We weren't a threat attacking wise at all, I didn't think. We were just, it was like we were just trying to contain Inverness. It didn't make any sense to me what we were trying to do that first half at all.
And then we finally got a shot at goal, wasn't on target, but at goal for Tony Watt's header 5 minutes into the second half. It was a great ban for Liam Grimshaw, but he's got to do better.
Should do better. I'm not saying score, but you've got to hit the target. And he'll ken that himself. Like, he doesn't need a couple of dicks like me and you. He'll ken that he should have hit the target.
No chance. And then Jack Walton, a good save for Max Anderson. I don't think he gets enough on it, Max Anderson. I think he could do a lot better, but
luckily,
he still has to be there.
Yeah, it's almost like he took the sting out of it. Like, if he had melted that bar and it's on target, then keeper's got no chance. But he gave the keeper a chance. And as you say, he still got to get down to the low to his right and turn it away, which he did. And Jack Walton, perfect one incident against Morton in the first home game. Like, he's never really let with doing, has he? Let's be honest.
Absolutely.
An easy save for our Jack.
Easy save for our Jack. He's super Jack Walton in goal. I mean, come on. Big change in. 25 minutes to go. The return of young Erch into the team. But I also changed things on the park. We went to a 4-3-3 at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, for me, it made all the difference. I mean, it was kind of shown quite early because Mikkelsen actually has quite a good shot and puts it right at the keeper. But just a wee bit of movement just seemed to be like, I mean, it took a while. If it was a rock up the arse at half time, it took a while to get it going there if that was what it was. But bringing him in just seemed to give the extra man in the midfield as well. And actually, I mean, I think there's a stat getting thrown about on the back of the game that when Tony Watt is played as the nine, his return, goal scoring return, that's a lot better than whatever. So I didn't bother about that. At the same time, I thought the boy Grieve put a shift in. Like, I think he was.
Yeah. He was knackered. He was knackered, Rondo.
Like, absolutely.
What more can you ask the boy? Like, knock your pan in, mate. Like, you can one of these players. You can begin Tony Watt, probably a wee bit, because mind, he got injured at St Mirren as well, so he missed a lot of games when he was there. But Jim Goodwin will know grief because I believe he signed him for St Mirren. But of course, as you say, he's just in the door. Just knock your pan in, do your best for the team. And some of it came off, some of it didn't come off. But I wouldn't have fault the laddie grief. Like he's just getting to know boys. He'll be better for that 70 minutes or 65 minutes, whatever he got. He'll be better for that in the next games.
Yeah, and I think.
But yeah, I thought he done a shift.
And what you're seeing for him as well, you know, wins fouls up the park, wants the tap boys on. He seems to have a bit of pace about him as well. And I've lifted this for Alan Dimple. Alex Greaves only played 12 minutes of football since December 23rd. So no surprise he was knackered after 67 minutes.
Yeah, but it wasn't it. It's not like he was knackered and he shirked. Like he got stuck in. Like he'd done what he could. He tried his best to get everywhere that he could get and impact that particular game. And that's all you could ask. That's all you could ask. Could he have done a wee bit of, could there have been a wee bit of more quality? Yeah, first half when he's got the ball and he's bit a couple of players. If he looks up, he sees Middleton. Hopefully that'll come. Hopefully he's not just a headless chicken. But no, I think the early signs on him were good. But you're right. When Young Arts came on, even though I thought at that point we were probably becoming the better team in the match, that kind of cemented that we were the better team in the match, for me anyway, watching.
Yeah, and Meekson's effort was our first shot on target that night.
Yeah, and as soon as it set up, I couldn't have set up any better, Rondo. I thought, this is a goal. Like he's scoring here. This is like the perfect comeback story. And I think the lead up to that was Tony Watt. I think he skinned the boy just inside the half. I think he turns the boy, lays it off. I think kind of a defender gets a touch or a bobble on the ground or something, but it's set up for Young Arch and he's absolutely malked it. But unfortunately for us, it was straight at the keeper. But it was promising. Like it was, as you say, it was our first shot, which itself is a piss poor start because we were well into the second half by that point, but it showed that like the momentum was coming towards us.
Yeah, and Tilson then put it in the car park, which is fine. And then he obviously...
He was wearing Beckland glasses, bitch.
And then, can we say smash and grab?
I think you can, yeah. And you can say that because it was, even though we've slated the first half, the second half, even though we were a wee bit better, it was still a shitey game. It was probably had nuns up wrote out it. However, like the desire, the application was there, the resilience to just still want to get a winner. Like Glenn Middleton, I'd say that he was poor on the night, but he didn't gee up and he got the bar doing a line to him.
It's not that.
He got a wee...
I think you've got to say Kai Fotherham's role and it's really good as well. He's vaulted the flick around the corner to him.
of course. But to get the ball to Middleton and then from there, he just wanted to put it into the danger area. And we've got a wee bit of lucky. I think it's nicked off. Was it Carragher at nicked off? The boy that was unbookable on the night.
Where does he pass the ball to? The corridor of
the danger
where?
Area. It's a corridor of uncertainty.
Yes, it is. Imagine that was a Beansy 6-yard box.
Amazing. But Tony Watt would have been near the bar. But it was a great ball and we definitely got lucky with the touch off the defender because the keeper had kind of made up his mind. He made an error, so I would say, but he was maybe, the bar was in that corridor of uncertainty that the keeper just couldn't get to it. And Tony Watt was on hand at the back post to rattle it in. And honestly, the moaning that I had done for the 86 previous minutes, instantly forgotten. This was the greatest night of the year.
That was off the lot.
Ahan. Amazing.
Jeezy. Beeps.
Amazing.
Oh, no.
I mean, you've got to celebrate small wins in life, okay? And it was a small win, with the emphasis on the word small.
Well, when your clothes off, it will be. But the thing is, you say that, but in general, I mean, it's a massive win as well, given that, you know,
Huge.
Your team's no there, you know, there's a chance if it ends like this and Wraith win on Saturday, which we'll get to, you could have been, what, five, six behind? It's one of them,
Rondo. Like we know ourselves this season. Like we've played on Friday nights and we've won, and then we'll go out the country, and then we'll maybe tune into our Wraith game, and you're watching that game, and you're like, Christy, they're about to drop some points here, and they didn't. Like, and they've not only just saved a point, they've sometimes turned defeat, certain defeat, into a victory. And you can yourself, like, it's disappointing. Like, it puts you on a wee bit of a downer. And maybe it shouldn't, but maybe I'm just too much involved in it emotionally. But it puts you on a wee bit of a downer. And it's probably the same at the club. Like, because Goodwin started, he starts the last few weeks getting asked loads of questions. What about Wraith? Wraith this, Wraith that. He's probably thinking, well, I can't do nothing about that. But the reason that he's getting asked that is because they keep doing what they're doing. So Tony Watt's goal, although it was massive on the night for us, it probably pissed off other people in Kirkcaldy as well and put a wee bit more pressure onto them going into that game on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So it was huge. The game itself, if you were going to sum it up, absolutely shite. But to get that winner, massive. Absolutely massive.
A couple of things, obviously, we need to mention. Tony Watt's celebration.
Yeah. I mean... You've played football, I've played football. I laughed at the time because it was my player doing it. But then I thought to myself, if I was that player and he was doing that in my face, like, he's getting headed. Like, it's as simple as that. Like, I've never been a professional football player. Like, I'm not saying that's the right thing to do, but I wouldn't have appreciated somebody doing that right in my face. Like, there might have been a punch thrown or I'd certainly a headbutt. But it was quite funny at the time. And again, it's maybe not the best way to celebrate. And even after the game, Tony Watt was like, look, spoke to the boy, I apologise, kind of probably shouldn't have done it. But it's an emotional game, Rondo. If football wasn't emotional, me and you wouldn't have a stupid, shitey podcast about it. Like, and you probably wouldn't really care about your team winning, losing or drawing. It's an emotional game. He's probably going to get it our season now. He's probably going to get called Chicken Man or boys walking past him and making chicken noises. It's going to happen. Because he's made that rod for his back. And that's probably what was happening during the game. And then, of course, he gets the last laugh because he scores the goal and he's right in the boy's face.
You say he got the last laugh, but I would say the last laugh came when the referee never gave a penalty, and rightfully so, didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a worry, though, wasn't it? It was a worry because... Like, you've seen them given, Rondo. You've seen them given. And now, maybe because we look at things through tangerine tinted specs, we're like, well, that's not a penalty. Because, and I would say it wasn't a penalty. And the reason I would say it wasn't is because, okay, the balls came in and the balls maybe came for 20 yards away. But the guy directly in front of Grimshaw, I don't know if he's thrown himself or if he's ducked. But either way, his action has meant that Grimshaw has like a yard to react to that. And he's also jumping. So it's not like his arm wasn't above his head. Like,
nice
again,
sight.
I'm sitting in my house here with my arm above my head and Rondo's laughing, thinking like, nobody could see that. But you're right, his arm was at his side. And does it hit it? Of course it hits it. Wallops his arm. But I don't think it's a penalty.
Well,
however, like, if I'm an Inverness fan, I am screaming for that. Of course you are.
Of course.
Especially that time of the game.
You're going to scream for a right, but there is a lot in there. Like, his arm's by his side, doesn't move it towards the ball, natural position, doesn't make himself bigger, anything like that. And obviously, the interesting is, because people are saying, you know, VAR's there, that's a penalty. I'm not so sure, because the rules tell you that. Now, I'm going to fast forward a little bit. Do you hear any sports sound on Saturday? Anyway, when they were speaking about this?
No, I didn't know. I think I know where you're going, but no, I didn't.
So, they're speaking about it, about the penalty and whatever else. Everyone, Bobby Madden included, who reads the rule book and says, it's not a penalty because this. Michael
stop
Stewart
you
says
right
not
there.
A
penalty. Stop you right there. I'm not listening to what Bobby... Have you got me agreeing with Bobby Madden? This is the last episode.
So
this is, I'm done.
And then you've got Abdi. So Abdi El Sarah and Alan Preston's like, nah, it's a penalty. How? How? Like, in the rules of football, it's not a penalty. How can it be a penalty?
Because he's good mates with Gary Bowen and he's good mates with Big Dunk. There you go.
And he hates United, clearly.
But I mean, you could make an argument for it.
It's not a penalty. So there's no argument. It's not a penalty.
No, and as much as I agree with that, last week, to me, the Kevin Holt incident with Broadfoot is a stonewall penalty, but we didn't get it.
Well, on that.
Oh, we'll get there. Don't worry, that's in the loan report.
Good.
But I just think, I think differently from you in a sense that I think if VAR was there, I think VAR probably gives that. I really do. And I'm not saying that they should, but for all the reasons, I don't think it was for all the reasons that I've given. Like, Grimshaw's only got like a yard of space, which is not even it's a split second to react to that. He's no made himself bigger. He's no put his hands up or in a non-natural position, whatever that pish means. The bar's mare struck him, then he's went to the bar. I don't think there's much he can do about it, but I still think that VAR probably gives that.
Well, VAR will ask to look at it. Doesn't mean he needs to give it, if you know what I mean.
But I think if they look at it, they probably give it.
Man of the match.
Especially if that happens at Ibrox. Man of the match. I would probably give it to Tilson.
I probably would.
And it might be the only one he gets this season. But I think Tilson in the first half, I think I was disappointed with Mochrie on the night. I think we maybe asked him to do a role that he can't do. But he didn't do nearly enough for my liking.
I think the big thing with that was off the ball for Mochrie because of the position he was in. What is really interesting, because obviously after the goal, Tilson's got to go off because his hammy just gees up, which is another thing that we're glad to...
After the game, Goodwin said that he's been playing with a bit of a hamstring injury. Like, yeah. He's an ultimate team player, and I'm not saying he's a great player. I'm not saying that, far from that. But he done a job, and he can do a job in certain games. No doubt about that in my mind.
And obviously when the kind of penalty, that definitely wasn't a penalty, but then there's 5 minutes injury time and all that, you could obviously, you will remember this, but you can tell me right now what our midfield three was at that point.
Young Arch, Dego.
Yep.
Did Mochrie finish the game?
Yep. That was our midfield three to finish the game. That shows where we're at in terms of the squad right now because of the injuries. I mean, that's Sybil, Tilson, and Dockery. I like to say what you want about Tilson, but those three are your three senior players. Yeah. Out of the math for injury or whatever reason. But
yeah.
I mean, that's massive. And when you ken what's going to happen, because you ken that bar's going, that's when it goes, right, lads, let's just get this in the box for here on in as much as we can. So, yeah, it was an interesting night. I know it wasn't for long, but like that 8 minutes would have felt like about 18 minutes on the park because it felt like that watching
it. Yeah, but like defensively, like it maybe wasn't the best performance that we've had, but it was a good performance on the night. I mean, it was a turgid, rubbish, shitey game that nobody will ever remember, but like defensively, to go for the way that we played last week, conceding three goals at him, to being really structured, really solid at the back. Okay, Jack Walton's had to make a couple of saves and there's missed games this season. He's had nothing today. But I just thought that it was night and day for the previous week, which was good because we missed Declan Gallagher. But again, we get a clean sheet. We go on about our defensive record our season, and Morton are doing their best to scupper that and to make us no speak about it. But like, we've only let in two goals away for him. Somebody was saying that's phenomenal. Like, this is January.
Yeah,
And we've only let two goals in away for him.
I thought Holt and Roscoe were good. I think they took the message last week that they weren't good enough and totally bounced back the two of them.
Yeah, and I mean, football players, they probably didn't need to help. But there'll be the odd one that you're like, you were stinking the day, mate, and he'd be like, nah, I thought it was all right. I'd be surprised if that's rife throughout football. I think when they didn't have a good game, I get on social media, it can be extreme, and they can maybe go for, in their own mind, no hint, a good game, to somebody tweeting them and saying, like, you're the worst player I've ever seen. Like, there's an in-between to that. Like, but they didn't have good games last week, like Holt. None of the defence, like, we let three goals on him against Morton. None of the defence got pass marks last week.
Whereas there were no many in the team got pass marks. Far better,
of course. And you get your just rewards, you get your clean sheet. And as you say, the last 5 to 10 minutes, you were under a wee bit of a siege with the bar just getting lumped in. And you can, you're just going to hit, put your body on the line and get your head on the end of the bar. And we did. We've done it very well. So hats off.
You mentioned the only two conceded on the road. 10 games played now, 1-8, drawn 2, and that's Jack Walton's 16th shutout in 28.
Yeah, brilliant, eh?
And listen, it's
a great record.
I don't think Jim Gubbins is the first United manager that has went, come on, I probably need to start for the back here. Because we saw it, remember when Mickey Mellon's team,
common sense.
Well, mind you, when Mellon's team got pumped twice in a row, and he went, we need to go further the back here, just to stop conceding goals. Yeah. And it starts, I mean, listen, McMahon, much better this week. Grimshaw, much better. I mean, he should have passed the ball at the park rather than run out of the park at one point near the end, but they were much better. And they all had to be collective. They had to be better. Like, it was...
Were you screaming at him enough? Because when he done that, I was like, right, brilliant, brilliant. Just run it, run it. Didn't I run out of the fucking park, just, idiot?
Just put up the line.
He just runs it right out of the park.
Just
what
kick
out
the line. Just kick out the line. God. Keep it in play.
But in general, he did well. He did well. Perfect. That one instance.
And very interestingly. still a couple of things to mention, but also lifting us off of Twitter. Liam asked, what's your most celebrated last minute winner you'll always remember? Because obviously we've now done it twice up in the Highlands. His is Davey Robertson at Tannadice.
Yeah, definitely up there. Embarrassingly enough, we go on about this a lot. Lauren Shankland's against Arbroath. Just because we wraithed them, like we were actually 1-0 down going into the last minute, and we somehow, so the equaliser got celebrated quite a lot, and then when he scored that second goal that day, my God, did that get celebrated?
Mine's probably Welshie 96, probably.
Yeah, and again, that was just to level up.
It was.
But it was like, was it injury time? Was it deep in injury time? I can't even mind. But that was a roar that's no often heard doing Tannadice way.
No half. Free week next week, of course. And I think we're probably right in saying it's probably coming definitely the right time.
Yeah, because there's a few boys carrying knock. Doherty he was born carrying a knock, I think. Declan Gallagher, he's going to be out after his surgery, but if we can only miss the minimum amount of games without him, then that's better. Sybil will be raring to go again, but I would imagine the team will get a couple of days off, or this weekend probably as we're recording it, I would think, and then they'll just get back to normal middle of the week or something. I'm not a football manager, but I'm assuming that
What would you give them off? When are you wanting them back?
A few days, Rondo. They were playing Friday, so I'd probably have them back Tuesday.
Long weekend.
Probably, but I'm no into your sports science, Ed, and I can what's best and whatever. Maybe they were in the Saturday morning to recover and then they get eczema. I have no idea how all that works, but I think they've probably earned it. And again, that there's been critics of performances. I've criticised performances, and you could easily criticise Friday's performance. But ultimately, we're now 20 games into the season, and we're sitting top of the league. It's exactly where we want to be. And if it wasn't for Wraith, and again, like it's if my auntie had Bath, she'd be my uncle territory here. But like Wraith, it's a bit of an anomaly because United have played so well, the record's so good, we've conceded so few goals, scored so many goals, and to only still just be on goal difference, top of the league, it's credit to Wraith. So I think United have done almost as well as they could. You could analyse every game, which we'll do next week, and you can go in and say, well, we should have won that, and you should have won every game, but like we haven't, and we're never going to win every game, even though some dick at the start of the season was looking for 108 points this season. However, we've done all right, so I think that if they get a few days off, it's fully merited. Hopefully it recharges the batteries. Hopefully the guys that are carrying Knox get over it, and I think that we're going to be in a strong position going into the second part of the season, even though this isn't really a break. I think we should view it as a wee bit of a break and get cracking towards the running.
And a new manager bounce was at Starks Park on Saturday.
Magic, Rondo. I don't know if you were out the country along with myself watching it, but it was good. It was good to watch. It started piss because Wraith got themselves in front after about 3 minutes. It seemed like after about 3 seconds, I'd barely sat down on that couch in a foreign land. And Wraith were one up already. But I managed to watch the whole game and I thought the better team won. I genuinely did, but it's just good for the spirit when you do your job on the Friday, and not only that, but somebody else helps you out massively on the Saturday. It's brilliant because it's been the other way a few times this season. And that's now, like Wraith haven't picked up that many points the last handful of games. So hopefully that continues as well. Hopefully that's a trend that we can see carrying on until about May.
Yeah, was the Queen's Park keeper at it, if you can what I'm saying?
The Queen's Park keeper was pretty good. It's the boy Ferry, isn't it?
But was he having...
No, he was pretty good.
Was he tying a bit of time to day things? Was he always on the deck once he saved it, once I got the lead?
Yeah, good. Yeah. And as much as that annoys the life out of me on a weekly basis at Tannadice, I was all for it. I was actively shouting at the TV in that foreign land I was in, telling them to roll about the grid. Tat your time. Let's no rush into getting rid of the bar, Mr. Ferry. So, it just depends your view on games, doesn't it? If it's happening against United, nothing worse. If it's beneficial to you, crack on. Let the boy do it.
Since Wraith won at Tannadice, they've drawn 2-1-1 and lost their last two games. So 5 points out of 15.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, they can maybe look at that one way and think, right, we've only took 5 out of 15. We've dropped 10 points. We're still on the same points as the team at the top of the league. And that would be absolutely true. So that's a bonus to them, but it's allowed us to claw back and get in front of them again. And like, hopefully we can just crack on for there. Because as I say, like, we were maybe not doing it the bare bones on Friday, Rondo, but we're missing big players in big positions. And hopefully we'll get some of these back, and we're going to hit the laddie Wotherspoon, maybe somebody else. We've obviously brought in Alec Grieve to the team as well. He's only going to be, I wouldn't think he was going to get any worse, but he's going to get better for getting a ken the players and getting good minutes in the legs on Friday there. So I think we could look towards the second half of this season quite optimistic that we can hopefully keep this good run going.
Yeah, you mentioned Wotherspoon. Inverness have actually just put statements out saying that he has left the club on the expiry of his contract. So there you go.
Of course he has.
You're good, bad and ugly.
Yeah, well, the good this week, we were missing Declan Gallagher, Ross Doherty, Craig Sibbald, Louis Moult. I think no matter what United fan you speak to, these guys would all be in the first 11. I think we can also agree that despite what gets reported in the media, we didn't have the greatest of squads after the first 11. Therefore, to go up the A9 on a stinking cold Friday night, keep a clean sheet and score yet another late winner can only be thought of as good. And not only that, but it's testament to the desire and resilience in the squad this year. The bad, let's see. We won. Wraith didn't. We'll be stronger squad-wise by the time we next play. We're currently sitting top of the league and we've got a game in hand. Rondo, nae bad this week. And the ugly, the game itself has already been filed away as instantly forgettable. If I never see any part of that match again, it'll be too soon. The kind of match that gets football stopped. But we'll take it.
Absolutely, we would. There is no preview this week because obviously the free week next week. So next week we'll be talking about the Dunfermline game the week after. So back over to you, Paul. What's been happening in the land of our on loan players?
The loan report. We'll start with big Rory Adams first, Edinburgh City. So Rory would start his second game as Edinburgh City's goalie against the unbeaten Falkirk Bairns on Saturday. He knew he'd be in for a busy afternoon, and that's exactly what it turned out to be. Not many outsiders would have given City a chance in this match, but by half-time, they were 2 goals up. Rory was also producing a fine display at the other end of the park. Into the second half, and Falkirk would pull a goal back. Cue the Alamo. Falkirk were battering the City goal for the remainder of the game, but a mixture of poor finishing, good defending and excellent goalkeeping was keeping them at bay. That was until the 96th minute, when Col Donaldson would think he was a winger. He cut past his man and felt a graze on his back. As he did so, he collapsed his own legs and threw himself into the box to win the foul. You could certainly make an argument for it being a foul, Rondo, but by Christ, he didn't half exaggerate that contact. The prick. However, that was not the main takeaway from this. To the surprise of almost everyone, the referee, and it was the same guy that we had last week against Morton, never gave the free kick. Oh, no, no. He pointed to the spot. Penalty kick. Falkirk's XD, Calvin Miller, stepped up to send Rory the wrong way and to secure a point for his still unbeaten Falkirk side. Bittersweet day for Rory, as although he played a blinder, he has been robbed of a victory right at the death by a great big dirty cheating Davin Bassa named Donaldson and a referee that seems to have issues with both of his eyes and his understanding of the laws of the game. The game would finish 2-2. For Falkirk, Leighton Bisland was again an unused sub. Logan Jammers at Ayr United. Logan was close to home on Saturday when his Ayr side travelled to Arbroath for a freezing cold match. He'd get the full 90 minutes once again, but was fairly quiet on the day, putting one free kick out the ground and then smashing a post late on. Neither team could break the deadlock though, and the match would finish 0-0. Lewis O'Donnell at Kelty. Lewis continued his own personal development by playing the full 90 minutes once more as Annan were the visitors to Fife. He'll likely have felt frustrated at the end, however, as it was one of his quieter games and his Kelty side dropped 2 points in the match as they were held to a 1-1 draw. Brian Mwangi, I'm assuming he's not at Spartans Rondo. I'm assuming he's not there because he wasn't in this. If he's not there, please somebody at Tannadice announce that he's not there and I'll sleep better at nights. The women's team. It was the Scottish Cup for the ladies last Sunday as they headed up north to play Dice Women. In truth, it was a game that they were expected to win, and that is the way that it panned out. Despite Dice putting up a good fight, it ended up a relatively comfortable 5-0 win in the end. They got off to a great start as in the third minute, Joe Fraser rose highest to get on the end of a Cassie Kilper free kick to make it 1-0. In the 15th minute, United got a slice of luck. Cassie Kilper again put in a dangerous cross, but this time it took a deflection off a Dice player and flew past the keeper to give United a 2-goal lead. United would have the better of the half, but that is the way that it remained until half-time. In the 58th minute, Kira Shooter would come off the bench for the team, and a minute later, with her first touch, she chipped the ball over the keeper from close in and gave United an unassailable 3-0 lead. The game was petering out at 3-0, but two late goals from Robin Smith and Kira Shooter again put more of a gloss on the final score, and although it may have been harsh on Dice, them's the breaks. The team's reward for getting through to the next round, the Rangers away. Nightmare. And speaking of the Rangers away, that is where the team were this weekend on league duty. And as we are recording this on Sunday evening, Rondo's going to let us ken what the final score was. And after he does that, I'm not going to say anything about it because I didn't ken what he's about to tell us, but I will have more of a report next week. So Rondo, how did they get on today?
They got beat.
Close?
Depends what your definition of close is.
I will report on it next week. They lost. Okay. It's always tough through there.
Let's just say I've just got enough fingers.
Oh, Christ almighty.
Anyway.
We'll move on.
I forgot about the voice pills. So I need to play them. So, I have not listened to these yet. So I am as in the dark as you are.
Christ, we may get in trouble.
Let's go.
Hi, Don't Fox Podcast. It's Abby. I went to Amsterdam with Ronnie. I just want to say it's my birthday the other day. I love United and I fucking hate Dundee.
Okay then, so we'll address something here. That's not quite true, right? Before Abby jumps on us. Happy birthday, by the way, Abby. So,
yes,
I have told the story before, but Abby and her dad's taxi is the same taxi me and Martin shared for the airport or the train station to our hotel or whatever, the train station to the airport. And they are the same people who spoke to me the next morning and Martin had to go, "Why are you?" And we see them, Martin sees them at most sort of home and away games, and I see them at most away games, but they've got, and they sound like they've had a brilliant time on the Edinburgh Arabs bus.
Yes, they do.
Let's see what's up next.
Fuck me, boys, but all that fucking matters is those 3 points.
Fair play.
Are we getting a name?
No, I've got no name. I've got none. I've got no details.
I'll tell you what, Rondo, we don't need a name. He's spot on. All we need is a 3 points.
All right, Arab lads and lasses, winning ugly, that's all that fucking matters. Get it right, fucking up the Highlanders.
Again, to the point. Fair play.
Nae name. Don't need names when boys spit facts.
Hi, boys. Happy New Year from Jake the Snake McBake. You're listening to the Dode Fox Podcast. Well, it's 2024 and I'm still a snaky bastard. You Arab boys tagging 3 points up the road to Inverness tonight. That's a brave result for yous. But guess what? The future's bright. It's tangerine with a wee bit of street cred black in there. Just want to say all the best, more in the shed.
I mean, that's twice now that Mr. McBake has left us a voicemail.
Loves it.
He must like, and here was us thinking for years he didn't like us. He's clearly a United fan. Cheers, James.
Eat me, hens, geek, Tony Watt, brah. The chicken's back, you bass. Waka, waka. Come on, United. And I hope the 12th Toad Fifers get beat them on Shed Rule. United Rule. Come on, United.
That man's hopes and dreams came true, Rondo.
Absolutely.
The 12th Toad Bunch did lose the next day.
Thank you very much. They were dropped by and got the voicemails on the go on Friday night after one or two share bits. Who knows? And I didn't mean to play them earlier on. I just totally forgot. And it was only when Paul was going on about the loan report, and then he went on to the women's team. For some reason, I actually looked in because I just saw the score, and I thought, oh, I have to play them. So there we go. But thanks very much. So right, so since the start of the season, Paul and I have been doing our A to Z of Dundee United. Now, every week, we get comments saying, how is so-and-so knowing that? You could have picked them or whatever. And we've said, we kind of had to see them play to make it. We could have made it bigger. We know that. And it's just the way it sort of panned out. But it's been good fun. Right, it's been a bra laugh. We've had a great time with it, but we really need to go and have a wee rummage, Paul, through our A to Z. So The ones that we did, because we glossed over some of them, but we had Stuart Armstrong,
yep,
Eamon Bannon, yep, Craig Conway,
mate. Yes,
Davey Dodds,
nobody's mate,
Craig Easton. Duncan Ferguson.
Big Dunk.
Kevin Gallagher. Paul Hegarty.
Hero.
Jim Irvin. Siggy Johnson. Billy Kirkwood.
Mr. Kirkwood.
Dylan Lever.
Nah, it caused a wee bit of bother. I ended it.
Did Morris Malpass.
Legend.
Hamish McAlpine. Sir David Neary.
Yeah, that was 100%, wasn't it? Because we didn't have a...
Shell Olofsson.
What a player.
Eric Pedersen. Paul Quinn.
My God.
Frank Quinn.
That was what I say, the drop-off levels was... unbelievable there.
Johnny Russell.
Yeah.
Paul Sturrock. Billy Thompson. Guido van der Kamp. What a three keepers we've got. Brian Welsh. And completing the invasion, Lars Zetterlund.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were all on the team at the same time. It's I bet they never realised, like, 30 years later, a shitey wee podcast would be doing an A to Z, and they would all be in the A to Z, the best ever players with that letter to begin their surname. Like, but there you go.
What is this shite I'm dealing with? But here we are. Yeah, thank you very much to everyone who took time to vote and make comment and whatever like that. It was a lot of fun. It was good looking back, and when you'd go on it and you'd pick that next letter, and then you would just, your heart would sink when you seen some of the names. You thought, oh my word. You know.
Yep.
And I got that.
When you were on about Irvin, like Jim Irvin got aye. Was he up against Chris Innes or something?
Probably.
That's, I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Jim Irvin, but that's probably an easy win, I'm guessing.
it was good fun. It was good fun to look back and stuff like that. So thank you very much. And someone said, what are you gonna do next? So, no idea. We might get through this season. We'll come up with another daft game.
More voicemails. Leave more voicemails. Fills more time.
Maybe get James McPake on for an extra minute of his voicemails. Yeah. But anyway, next week then, Paul, you've already made reference to it. It's our mid-season review. It'll be recorded live at Clark's on Lindsay Street. It's an afternoon kickoff, by the way, because I've had two people ask me this week, what time does it actually start? Doors open at 1:30. And it kicks off at 2:00. Clark's on Lindsay Street. It's a mix of seating and standing in there. If you can't go, by the way, you can resell your tickets on Skiddle. Now, there's no tickets left, but we have two tickets to give away on Tuesday. It'll be across our social media. It'll be a dead simple entry. And you could win, which is the last two tickets for next week. All the profits have been shared between Fansport and Foodbacks Dundee and the Dundee United display team. The raffle on the day, if you have got a ticket, by the way, they are £2. Love you to buy 5 tickets. Be amazing, because again, the profits are going to those brilliant people. You can buy your tickets, bring some cash, but there should be able to pay by card as well if the Wi-Fi and that's all working, right? In the raffle, we have got some prizes from some local companies. We've got some signed prints as well. And don't forget, for those in attendance, there is a Q&A with Callum Morris after the break. It'll be the same if you've been to any of our shows before. And if you haven't, a quick recap, when you come in, you'll come in, you'll get checked in as well. You'll then be directed into the venue. You can then buy a raffle ticket, and you can also put your question in for the Q&A. So you get to do that. It's all before the show, and it'll basically run in two halves. The first half will be the episode recording, which will include the mid-season review. We'll have a wee break, then we'll do the raffle, then the Q&A, and then we'll all go home. It should be good fun. Looking forward to it. Looking back on 20 games of the championship season, plus, of course, the cup competitions as well.
Yeah, and we'll definitely have at least one fellow fan speaking to us about the season so far. Ideally, we would have liked two. I think when we put that out there, we'd tell people to slide into our DMs, and one person slid in. Is that right, Ronnie?
I think they did. And if you would
literally one. But there is still a space open if you want. But also on the ticket giveaway, I think you probably have to be 18 with it being in a boozer.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So as much as we love anybody to listen to this, you hate to be 18 to listen to it live next week, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, so it should be a lot of fun. So looking forward to that. That is next Sunday at Clark's on Lindsay Street. Right, on this day, an association of the Arab Archive preserving the history of Dundee United Football Club since 2006. 15th of January is our focus today. Two games, and just the two. No birthdays, no nothing. Now, Derek quote me on this, but I think the Arab Archive might be getting a wee bit of an upgrade, because I've not had MD's birthday for a while. I've not signed MD in a while. And I could probably find that information out. But, you know, I've got two games. We headed to Starks Park in 1994. Paddy Connolly was absent because he had the flu. Christian Daly was drafted in attack. And Alex Clelland replaced Billy McKinley in the midfield. Davey Hanna was on the bench. And we went ahead in the 12th minute. Scott Crabb fed Craig Brewster, who's swerving 25-yarder, deceived Scott Thompson, went in at his right-hand post. The goal by the former Wraith striker certainly dampened the constant barracking which he had been on the receiving end of since the start of the game. United grabbed a second after the break. Crabb and Brewster both involved again as Scott's shot was blocked and Craig's sweetly first-time rebound in the top left-hand corner for a second goal against his former teammates. And it finished 2-0. Fast forward, Paul, to 2006. And Brewster was in the stand at Tannadice as he was set to take over at United. The game was against Falkirk. It was Billy Dodds' only game as interim manager. Now, despite being under the cosh, a brilliant team move basically helped. A beautiful finish by David Fernandez. Now, this is on the Arab Archive, and I watched it, and it's beautiful. Great finish. He chipped the keeper. Gave us the halftime lead, 21 minutes to go, Falkirk pulling back. Then what can only be described as an absolute screamer. A minute for time, Derek McInnes volleyed United to a massive victory ahead of Brewster's imminent arrival. Scenes.
Yeah, I've watched that goal back for David, and it's an absolute peach, but I clearly still see McInnes hitting the shot of his life. And a rifling straight into the top corner. For a long time, Billy Dodds' managerial record was unmatched. It was 100%. And then he went and made an arse up, took another job. So I do remember that game, yeah. I don't really remember the one through at Starks Park, the Brewster and Scott Crabb one, but that's because I'm just a relatively young man, Rondo, so my memory's maybe not what it should be.
Or you had a shot of his magazines while that game was on. Anyway,
possibly
next Sunday we'll get together, look back at the season so far. The final two tickets are up for grabs on our social media pages on Tuesday. We're at Dode Fox Podcast on social media. Check out the website, dodefoxpodcast.com. Have a great week, stay safe, and don't forget to wash your hands and your arsehole.